was rearranged with the track listing, and it included Pressure Drop, probably due to...
I think it's an inclusion in the soundtrack, The Harder They Come.
Yes.
So it was kind of a marketing tie-in for that. A great song, regardless, but I don't think the 75 American issue recaptures that original 73 sound. That record was issued in the UK and Jamaica on Dragon Records, which was a subsidiary of Blackwell's Island Records, of course, referring to Chris Blackwell, who we'll be talking about in just a moment. But yeah, this record is fantastic with these lyrics that just talk about the difficulties of being working class, living in Jamaica. And we did talk about the influence of soul and R&B in reggae, and you really hear that on that track.
Oh yeah, and I think there's even a cover of Louie Louie on there done in a reggae style. But they definitely had that rock influence in their sound, for sure. And I can see why some punk bands might gravitate towards the music they made. Mm-hmm. Because they had that little bit of an edge there to their music, which was a little different from the other reggae artists of the time.
That's right. Very hard-hitting. And then before that, we're talking about an artist who released not one, not five, but two records in 1973. I'm talking about Bob Marley and the Wailers.
Yes, originally known as the Wailers. They started going by Bob Marley and the Wailers once they got a new contract. They were kind of pushing for Bob Marley to become a star, which would happen, and which would cause conflict within the band members and cause several of the Wailers to leave the group shortly after this time period.
In fact, after the release of the album Burning, which we did hear a track called Burning and Lootin' from, a very kind of slow apocalyptic number, this was released in October of 73, and it contains some of the Wailers' most popular and biggest songs, including I Shot the Sheriff, Get Up, Stand Up, and it was the last album to feature the Wailers as a group, featuring not only Bob Marley, but Peter Tosh, as well as Bunny Wailer, who all decided to pursue solo careers, and Bob Marley would take the name of the Wailers and continue on with it, even though really he was pursuing a solo career. This album itself was mixed by Island Records founder Chris Blackwell in his Basing Street Studios, and it features a lot of re-recorded songs that the band had previously recorded with Lee Perry back in the early 70s.
Yeah, this album and Catch a Fire were recorded roughly around the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Because it came from a lot of different sessions. So what happened was, as they were signing to Island Records, they were coming off of a tour and they weren't able to get home. So they were forwarded in an advance that I believe Chris Blackwell thought they would just come to London and record their album, but they took the money, went home, and recorded all this stuff themselves, which is pretty great. And then what happened was Bob Marley wound up going to the UK and with the master tapes, and kind of doing some reworkings for Catch a Fire with Chris Blackwell in hopes of, you know, gaining a new international audience. And it did work.
It certainly worked. I mean, this was a huge album and definitely one of the most important in Bob Marley and the Wailers' discography. You know, I think it's in no small favor, of course, to the musicality and great guitar work of Wayne Perkins, who would be better known as a session guitarist for the Muscle Shoals band.
Yeah.
Now, Perkins was brought in possibly to give more of a European or American-centered sound to it with some of that guitar work that we heard on that opening track, Concrete Jungle, from Catch a Fire. Regardless, though, it's incendiary guitar work. It's burning. It really, you know, is appropriate for the title of the record.
Yeah.
But it's just such a great searing line of guitar work underlying with these original recordings done by the Wailers. And those original Jamaican recordings were not to see the light of day for a few years. Later on in the episode, we're actually going to play one of those original tracks, unedited, the original Jamaican recordings. But with that said, we've been talking a lot. We want to get to some new music, and we're going to be highlighting some hidden gems from Canada, four incredible reggae releases, all from our fair country. So we're going to get to it, starting with Earth, Roots, and Water from their 1977 album Innocent Youths with the track Zion. You're listening to Punky Reggae Party 2 here on Revolution Rock.
back on the wall. Do you know what it's for? The time to go to Zion. Old man, look in my eyes. Tell me, what do you see? The time to go to Zion. Oh, wait for it by the rivers, the rivers of Babylon. If you wanna reach over Zion. No backslide, no slave driver.
Their money, they're robbing his
Listening to Revolution Rock here on CJAM 99.1. And I'm your host, Dave, joined with Adam. We're here for Theme Month, celebrating Black History Month, doing what we're calling Punky Reggae Party 2, playing a bunch of reggae and obscure reggae, and also some other music from black artists that would go on to be very influential. And in that last set, we featured a set of Canadian reggae artists, a lot of which were part of a Toronto reggae scene in the 70s and 80s,
mm-hmm.
And pretty well known. Originally from Kingston, they went to Toronto, and then they recorded there and lived there and became part of the scene.
Yeah, really interesting history for a lot of these guys, which we'll get into. That last track in particular has a very interesting history. That was by Noel Ellis. Now, Ellis was the son of a very famous reggae singer called Alton Ellis, and he was born in Kingston, Jamaica, but as a teenager, he relocated to Toronto, and he started working at Summer Records, which was run by Jerry Brown. During the course of that time, he basically was convinced to do some recordings, so in 1979, he cut this track and a number of other ones to Haile Selassie, and that was featured on Noel Ellis's debut and sole record from 1983, a self-titled record. This, of course, was released off of Summer Records. I did mention that label. They're often cited as Canada's answer to Lee Perry's Black Art Studios because of the type of high-profile artists they were releasing. Now, at the time of its release, though, it was a bit of a commercial flop. Time has gone on. It's become a bit of a cult classic, especially since Light in the Attic Records reissued it in 2006 on CD. So a really great turnaround for Noel Ellis, who, as far as I know, has not released anything since that original release. I think only an EP and a single since then.
Yeah, it doesn't have too many recordings, unfortunately. That last track really delved into dub. It was really great. And before that, we heard some music from Winston Hart.
Yeah, he was born in St. Elizabeth. It's a town in Black River, Jamaica. And then he left there for Canada in 1972, where he would develop as a songwriter. And a few years later, released a single called Slaves Made Them Rich in 1979. So that's what we heard. He actually gave up secular music and become a man of the cloth eventually. So kind of an interesting history for Hart. But yeah, not known for a lot of music. He only had this and one other single, but it got some regional airplay when it was released. Definitely a powerful message in that one. As with the track we heard before that by Leroy Brown.
Yes, we heard a track from Leroy Brown called Money Barrier.
Mm-hmm. It was the title track, actually, of an album by the same name in 1981. And Leroy Brown, Leroy has a bit of a history. He grew up in Jonestown, and at the age of 11, the singer Alton Ellis, who you may remember is the father of Noel Ellis, he actually was encouraging him and helped him found a band called the Hippie Boys. So, you know, they weren't like Bread. You know, the Hippie Boys were actually like a very, like, you know, hard.